Good evening. Welcome to the service of Holy Communion at Asbury United Methodist Church. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship, which is found in your bulletin. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Join me in a time of confession and pardon. Please respond back with a bold-faced type in your bulletin. My sisters and brothers, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. Let us draw near to God and confess our sin in the truth of God's Spirit. Most merciful God, we, your church, confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ. Where we have failed to love one another as he loves us, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips, and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him, forgive us, we pray. And by your Spirit, make us faithful in every time of trial, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, Chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the 14th evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb of young goat or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It is good to be gathered together, whether we're here in the sanctuary or online. It is good for this community of faith, this Asbury family, to be together at this time of worship this evening. And in saying that, I would invite those of you who may be gathered with us online, if you would like to go now and get your communion elements. If you don't have them there with you, you'll be invited to share communion with your Asbury family in just a little while. Our gospel lesson this morning, I sang it too, Nick. You kept saying this morning and we were all laughing at you, but this evening, it's just habit, it's habit. Our gospel lesson for this evening, this Maundy Thursday evening, can be found in John's gospel, the 13th chapter, and I'd like to read that for you now. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has been bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who had agreed to betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put his robe on again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you if you do these things. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the light and love of your gospel so shine in our hearts this evening that our minds will be open and we will hear with joy the word you have to proclaim to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do the best you can until you know better, then do better. Those words come from the great poet Maya Angelou, who's credited with that grace-filled advice, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." This evening, we have an opportunity to learn, or perhaps more precisely, to let what we already have heard and know sink down into the depths of our beings, into our core, so that what we can know can transform us. So what we can know will not only make us better, but help us do better. Maundy Thursday is always focused on Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. And on every Maundy Thursday evening, the church gathers to do what Jesus did. We break bread, we pass a cup, we eat and drink just as he taught us to do, just as he told us to do, just as we Methodists tell one another that as we share the cup and as we eat of the bread, that power, that communion has the ability to make us better disciples. And when we are better disciples, we do better in the world. On this Maundy Thursday, we recite together what John says happened on that first Thursday evening so long ago. The disciples gathered as usual to share a meal. And while Jesus knew it would be his last meal with them, they did not know that. But at this last meal, Jesus tried to teach them one last time the lesson that he had been trying to teach them from the very beginning. A lesson that is so simple that neither they nor we can quite believe it, even yet. But on that night, with the food arranged before them, everyone reclined at the table ready to eat, Jesus got up. Now remember, he wasn't sitting in a chair. He was on the floor. And he got up, stripped off his tunic, wrapped a towel around his bare waist, and prepared a basin of water. Then went back, and one by one, knelt at the feet of those disciples and washed them, tenderly touching their feet and drying them with the towel, removing the dirt and the grime that had built up during their journeys. The water was surely refreshing, and his touch so tender and healing. But as the water turned from clear to dirty brown, the disciples became more and more scandalized, perhaps even angry at what Jesus was doing. For you see, they were ashamed. Ashamed that they had not thought to hire a servant to take care of this menial but essential chore. They knew better. They knew that you should never and could never sit down to a meal without washing up. Perhaps they were embarrassed that not one of them had thought to wash their master's feet. And as the law had taught, Jesus was too kind a master to demand that from them. perhaps they looked at one another in awe. Which one of them would have been willing to humiliate himself like that in front of the others? To strip down, to bow down, to take on the role that, well, no one would do for free. And perhaps they were even a little angry. This was their teacher, their master, their Lord, now bowing down, getting on his hands and knees, lowering himself as low as a man could go. And perhaps they were even confused. Once again, Jesus was doing something that seemed to make no sense. Who is this man that they had followed, to whom they had given their lives? But there they were, watching in anger and frustration and confusion and embarrassment and shame and horror as he washed each one's feet, trying to figure out what to say or how to get out of this confounding situation, but there was nowhere to go. But Peter tried. God bless him. Peter always seemed to know what to say, but Jesus dismissed his protests. Jesus insisted on washing Peter's feet, as if this ritual was some kind of a loyalty test. If I don't wash your feet, you won't belong to me, Jesus told Peter. Now I wonder, could any one of those disciples look Jesus in the eye after he had put his tunic back on and reclined with them at the table? In my mind, there is silence, that uncomfortable, pregnant kind of silence that happens when somebody has violated the most basic of social rules. And then Jesus asked them, "Do you know? Do you understand what I was doing? I have given you an example to follow. Do what I have done to you. Remember that I, your master, washed your feet. Remember that you surely are no better than your master. So now that you have seen me do this, you go and do likewise." John says that Jesus' teaching that night was hard for the disciples to understand. It sort of burned in their hearts like a slow burn. It took his arrest, his beating, the crucifixion, and the resurrection before the fire took flame. And they got it. Like a bright light, it suddenly made sense. Jesus loved them. Jesus served them. And here's something that's as hard or harder to understand than the act itself. Everybody was at that table. Even Judas, who betrayed him, got his feet washed. He belonged to Jesus. Even Peter, who would famously deny him, and all of the rest of them who would use those clean feet just a few hours later to run as fast as they could through the dirt and the back streets of Jerusalem, deserting him. He had washed every one of them clean. He was master of all. He was a servant of all. A Lord who had chosen to lay aside his cloak, bow down before each one, wash away the grime of their lives, and rise back up to teach them again. Do this, he said. Follow my example. God will bless you for doing this, and others will know that you are mine because of the way that you love one another. Tonight, we gather for that meal. We will share a bit of bread. We will drink from the cup. Some of us will be slightly embarrassed, knowing that we are not worthy, but we will come anyway. Some of us may feel a little anger when we know ourselves so well, but even more we look around the room and we wonder what they're doing here. But Jesus did it for everyone. We may hang our heads in confusion or shame that we dare to receive, but it won't change the fact that Jesus is giving of himself to us. Take the bread, drink from the cup, and let it sink in all the way down to the lowest, darkest, most unworthy part of you, to the shadows that even you are afraid to look into in your own soul. Let it fill up the pitted places of still healing wounds. And know that this Savior wants to make it all well. This is for you and for me, for all those everywhere who want it, and even those who don't. And now, my friends, you know better. Let us do better. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to turn to page 13 in your hymnal so that you can follow along. My prayer will be slightly different than what's printed there, but you will hear, the cues for your responses, as we gather together and pray with thanksgiving, with great thanksgiving, this prayer over our meal tonight. A couple of just serving suggestions. We will be, according to our pandemic protocol, using our individual communion cups and bread. So after the Great Thanksgiving, Brother Nick and I will come through the congregation and serve you communion by giving you one of the communion kits. I ask that you hold on to that, and we'll all eat and drink together. So let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. From the earth you bring forth bread and create the fruit of the vine. You formed us in your image, delivered us from captivity, and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You fed us manna in the wilderness and gave grapes as evidence of the promised land. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When we had turned aside from your way and abused your gifts, you gave us in him your crowning gift, emptying himself, that our joy might be full. He fed the hungry, healed the sick, ate with the scorned and forgotten, washed his disciples' feet, and gave a holy meal as a pledge of his abiding presence. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from it, do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in service to all the world until Christ comes in glory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as servants who are no better than our master, as children of a loving Father, as people who are sent forth into the world to love as we have been loved, let us pray the prayer together that our Lord Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat, and have it fill you with the power and glory that you need to be a disciple. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Drink from it. Drink all of it. And know that indeed you have been cleansed of sin.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving found in your bulletin. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Our final hymn tonight will be Ah, Holy Jesus. It's found on page 289 of the hymnal. Please stand and join us.
Thank you.
Friends, it's been a joy and a blessing to be here with you tonight, to participate in the Lord's Supper together tonight. As you make your way out this evening, there is a basket right outside the center aisle, right outside the door. If you are so moved to give tonight, then you'll want to place it in that basket. There is also a red bucket out there that if I can beat you back there, I'll be holding it when you walk out. But if not, you can just dispose of your self-serve communion thing in there. Just wanted to remind you that tomorrow night we will be having Good Friday service here in the sanctuary at 6:30, and on Easter Sunday we will have a sunrise service at 7 a.m., our contemporary worship service at 8:45 in the Wilson Activity Center, communion at the Columbarium at 10, and then we'll be here in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. And of course, all of those services will be on our YouTube page as well if you are not able to make it, but we do hope we can see you on Sunday morning. Receive now this blessing. Go in peace. May Christ Jesus, who for our sake became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you this night and forever. Amen.